Attention, listener. I have an assignment for you. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to engage with the real nerds, aka the best podcasts on the internet. You can listen to their episodes on their website, realnerdspodcast.com. And you can also listen to them on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, and iTunes. Follow their social media pages on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. This message will self-destruct? Never.
Who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd can
talk film. I'm sorry.
Take it outside.
Well, a real nerd knows who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd will get out of the gods. Lights, camera, action.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the greatest podcast on the internet, Real Nerds Podcast, where every week we see a new movie and we podcast our experience to the world. And we've been doing this for 13 years. I am joined, as always, by my trusty friend, Brad.
It's all right. You could say sidekick. No, I'm the sidekick. I get it.
Yeah. You're Boy Wonder and I'm Batman.
Yep. Can't deny it.
Actually, definitely. One of my coworkers, I call him, the nickname I gave him is the Boy Wonder. He doesn't get it because he's young. He's like 23.
What?
And
Robin's relevant.
Yeah. And but he talks like the 1966 Robin. So he'll say, golly gee, Sarge, I don't know if I can do that. So I call him the Boy Wonder.
Gee willikers, that guy's head was separated from his body when he impacted in the back of that truck.
That's how he talks. He's a really good kid, but that's how he talks. He called Danielle, as one of our records ladies. He was on speaker, and Danielle said, hey, just so you know, I don't even remember what she said to him, and he says, oh, well, good grief, I guess I should go help him. You got any more of that shark repellent, Batman?
Yeah, but
so I call him the Boy Wonder because he's like the nicest kid, and he just reminds me of like the G Shucks Burt Ward Robin.
It's not like Batman's been swept under the rug, you know, not having movies for a couple of years. Like, I feel like that's pretty Boy Wonder, still a relevant thing in comics.
Well, in comics, but also they really, you know, I don't know, because like, they've kind of pivoted to that Damian style Robin where he's more angsty. They've kind of gone away from the Dick Grayson.
He's the brat wonder.
Yeah, exactly. But I love that in the Harley Quinn cartoon, he's Harley Quinn's like arch nemesis, and he has that little kid's voice and stuff. It's hilarious. Yeah, so you should watch Harley Quinn the cartoon. It's amazing. Anyways, this week we saw Imaginary. Stay tuned, we'll recommend the film or not, play the trailer, and then spoil it. We also talk about movie news and movies we watched throughout the week.
Yeah, it's easy.
Yep.
It's that simple.
Yeah.
That's what we do.
Simple. What we do.
It was more complicated when we started, and we slimmed it down.
We really did.
We trimmed the fat.
We did the Atkins diet now. But Brad, I guess we'll dive right into it. Do you recommend Imaginary?
No. I've mostly forgotten it already. I saw it like 4 days ago, and pretty much when there's a character that's pretty much explaining how the world works.
What are you talking
in detail,
about?
Like, in the latter half of the movie, almost as though the first half of the movie, like, they know it didn't like keep up. And so they kind of, caught the ball at the end.
You got that vibe too.
Yeah.
I felt like the screenwriter is right. Like, I have all these great ideas. oh shit.
Maybe this doesn't make sense. I should probably hold everyone's hand through this last part that's supernatural. Yeah, it's I mean, first and foremost, not scary. And yeah, there's just like a lot of ideas and they don't really do anything that's awesome. So yeah.
Yeah.
Pass on imaginary for me. I imagine it didn't exist at one point.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. This movie was not good. I, you know, because I always, every so often on our show, we have some horror movie sprinkled in because, you know, there's like a big movie and then they put some horror movie sometime in February or March or January. And Blumhouse usually has a good track record of, you know, horror films. But this one, my review on Letterboxd is bad dialogue, not scary, cool practical effect of the bear. And that's about it.
Yeah. Yeah. It kind of, between the, like this and like Night Swim and everything, it kind of feels like they're at the bottom of the list of ideas that they had, and they're like contractually obligated to put them out. And so they're just like, until we figure out our superstar slate, let's just get these out of the barn. And yeah,
they're like, is that Jordan Peele movie coming out this year? Here's the trailer for Imaginary.
Hey kids, do you want a friend who will never leave your side? Introducing Chauncey the Bear. He'll never leave you.
Never, ever.
It's nice to see you again, Alice. Jessica told me you've been spending time with a new friend.
He doesn't want me to talk to you. Chauncey? My favorite thing is his eyes. I can see anything I can imagine in them.
He asked you to do something that hurt you.
Every culture has a name for it. We call them imaginary friends. Just because you stop believing in them doesn't mean they're gone. And they're angry that you left.
Imaginary is this film about a woman who is a stepmother to two children, and she dealt with a traumatic past, and they move back into her childhood home. When she gets to her childhood home, the imaginary friend that she blocked in her mind is now the imaginary friend of the littlest girl, and a lot of creepy things are happening. If only someone could explain it, like the crazy old lady who lived next door, who randomly wrote a book about it and randomly knows all this stuff about the like upside down world or whatever, the M.C. Escher style Beetlejuice, Edward Scissorhands world.
No, here's the twist. She lived there even when she was a child, so she knows about the traumatic past even.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
But
for some reason, she won't just come out and say it when she runs into her.
I know. And, like, the movie is a lot of setup for no payoff.
The reason she's not saying is because she wants to go into the world herself and then write the book about it.
Yeah, it makes no sense. And so when you first meet the neighbor, when she acts, you know, that she's not there, but then all of a sudden when she explains the imaginary world, she's this well-spoken, I know everything about it, and then she wants to stay in the world. And the whole time I'm going, wait, what, lady? Like I said at the beginning, it felt like the screenwriter had this idea for a movie, and then he says, oh, fuck, I have to explain what's happening in this movie.
Yeah, like, she might as well just turn directly to the camera and just said, like, okay, this is what this is. I know I know we stole M.C. Escher's drawings and created a 3D world version of it directly. We didn't, like, change anything.
But it has so many cliches. You know, it's the young daughter who bonds with the new stepmom, and then there's the bratty teenage daughter who doesn't like the stepmom, and then for no reason, and then the dad has to go away at some point because.
Sorry, and babe, I gotta go on tour. Take care of the daughters.
And did they ever mention that he was an artist, like a musician?
You see him put his, like, I don't know, guitar case in the car.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I said, oh, he's a musician, I guess.
Yeah. And, I was like, so she wrote a book and he's a musician and they afford that house? Okay.
Yeah. And then, like, why is...
Well, I guess it's her dad's house. Mean... Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. But that's fine. But why is the stepdaughter mean to her? I don't understand.
Yeah, it's not like they had some argument to begin the movie.
Yeah, it seems like she's a perfectly nice woman. Like,
yeah.
She says, I'm just trying to, you know, build a happy home. Fuck you, bitch! Wait, what?
You know, like, they married, right? So,
yeah.
Like, she went through the whole dating cycle and got married and, like, moved to a new house, and the girl still, like, is at odds with her. That's okay.
Yeah, and then they throw in that the mom has some psych patient who randomly shows up in the middle of the movie and then never comes back.
Yeah.
What the fuck is going on?
Yeah, the little daughter's having a tea party and she's talking to somebody and you think, oh, she's talking to Chauncey and whatever. But the shocker is that there's actually a person there. It's her mom who escaped from the asylum. And yeah, the police come and take her away. And she just doesn't figure into the rest of the place. Just like for a jump scare.
Yeah, and she looks like Samara from The Ring. I don't know.
Yeah.
But they had the little girl found this stuffed bear downstairs named Chauncey, and he's the imaginary friend who's telling her to do all this bad things, which turns out to be a ritual to bring him into the real world, or I don't even know.
I don't know what the endgame was. Like, does trapping her, like, getting her, the new daughter to get the, like, her old best friend into, like, what happens in the imaginary world? Like, you just get eaten? I don't know.
Exactly. I don't know either, because the Chauncey, you know, killed the fuck out of that old lady.
Yeah.
But so they kept on, every once in a while, you'd see Chauncey and he'd turn his head and look at you or whatever. But one of the big twists about three quarters of the way through the movie is there is no stuffed animal, that the artist writer lady is imagining it.
Yeah.
Wait, what the fuck? Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I thought the practical effect of the bear was really cool.
Like, it was cool that it was, like, real, but,
yeah,
like, it wasn't scary.
Wasn't scary, but, like, at least it was real and it wasn't CGI.
Yeah, like, I appreciate that they went for that. Like, they swung for that, but at the end of the day, it still wasn't like, oh, that's definitely a dude in a suit or an animatronic thing. Yeah.
It also didn't make any sense. I mean, I know that's, they're playing on it that she drew the picture of the spider in her book. And so it's Chauncey and it's this really mean, vicious bear thing. And then towards the end when it's chasing her, it's the spider guy. Okay.
Yeah. Because the whole storybook of, like, her storybook is spiders, I guess, that are, like, estranged.
I guess.
And then, like, her childhood home has a bunch of scribbles on the wall, like all of her art. Mm-hmm. And then, like, they do, like, they go back to it and, like, she tries to redraw it.
While the teenage daughter who hates her, who tells her that she's worthless or whatever she says to her, goes to the weird lady's house and gets explained everything that's happening.
Yeah, but like there was like some code in the drawings that was, I was just like, oh, this is such a stretch.
I thought, what was the old lady's end game? I don't understand why she wanted to be in that world.
I thought she wanted to like document it and like write about it, 'cause she was a writer too, right?
Yeah,
she invited everyone over to look at her books.
Stay in there? I don't know what's going on.
Yeah,
maybe I checked out.
It was so confusing. Like what any of the second half of that was about. And then there's like you think it ends, and then it's like, oh, she's still in the imaginary dream world.
Yeah,
one more.
I know, and that happened. And I was going, fuck.
So she screamed at the screen, fuck you. Yeah. I could have. I was alone.
Yeah. And I couldn't place the husband. I go, where do I know this guy from? And then it hit me. He's plays Jesus on The Walking Dead. Go, oh, that's where I know this guy.
That looked familiar. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think the lead actress, too. I think I've seen her in other stuff, too, but I can't place her right now.
Yeah. And then her dad has like dementia because he saved her the first time around when Chauncey did this to her.
Yeah. And was given all the imaginary stuff all at once that made him crazy.
Yeah. Like there's imaginary stuff. I don't know how he got dementia from it, or because like he gets scratched or whatever when he's like reaching it. And the whole thing of like, oh, you just draw a blue door anywhere. And you, like, how do they know that? Like, I don't.
Yeah.
I don't know how they understand how the mechanics work so quickly.
Yeah. Even like the lead actress, I thought she was good in it, but it's hard when you don't have, you know, a very good script to work with.
Yeah. I think the material sucks, but like everyone's doing their best to like sell it. Like even exposition lady, just like, I'm sure she's just like, oh my god, this sucks, but I'm gonna do my best. This is my breakout role here.
Yeah, it's one of those things too where maybe because that John Krasinski movie is coming out that is, you know, called Imaginary Friend, and they say, oh man, we really need to get on this Imaginary Friend.
Yeah, maybe people will think it's that movie.
Yeah, remember the Asylum like line of DVDs that came out? That would be Octoshark or whatever. So her name's DeWanda Wise, and she's in the latest Jurassic Park. That's where I know her from.
Mm.
She plays the pilot in that Jurassic Park.
Gotcha. Another movie I've pretty much forgotten.
Yeah, I watched it recently because my kid loves the Jurassic Park films. I mean, it's fun. It's, you know, not as good as the other ones.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's Imaginary. You're good if you don't see it.
Yeah. If you're looking for scares and something interesting, like, yeah, just not a great idea.
Go see stop motion instead. Because that one's at least a little creepy.
Yeah.
And creative, because the stop motion in it's incredible. I mean, I don't think you can see it anymore, but if you had a choice, pick that one.
Cool.
Hey, here's some big movie news of the week.
It's real news.
Well, I mean, of course, the big movie news is, you know, the Oscars.
Oh, did that happen?
It did.
I'm just kidding. I watched it twice, actually.
Really?
Yeah, because I had to download YouTube TV to watch, you know, live programming. Like, I watched it at the bug, and then last night I was like, I wonder if they, like, rerun it. And so I found it again on streaming, and it's like, yeah, it was a whole program with less commercials. It was awesome.
Nice. And I actually thought this, because I caught it after the fact, because my kid won the championship in his hockey. So I didn't see a lot of it. So I went back and I rewatched it. It was actually kind of a fun ceremony.
Yeah, I thought it was a good just show in general.
Yeah.
Like the way it's organized and the way it was directed, like just really creative. And obviously the show-stopping musical numbers were just incredible.
Oh yeah. The I'm Just Ken was freaking amazing.
Yeah, that's like the worth the price of admission right there.
Totally. And I thought although Oppenheimer did not make my film explosion list, it definitely was one of the best movies from last year.
Definitely, yeah, for sure.
And, you know, my boy Robert Downey Jr. won an Oscar, deservedly so. I thought he was the best part of Oppenheimer, actually. And then I think, you know, Emma Stone winning Best Actress was deserved. I know a lot of people were pulling for Lily Gladstone, which she's fine in the movie. But when I watched Emma Stone, I know we talked about it on the episode, she goes from really simple dialogue into these really complicated feelings and monologues so effortlessly throughout that film that I think she deserved to win it. And how, like, I don't know the right word, but vulnerable that performance was, you know?
I don't think there's a point of the movie where she's not in on screen, right?
Yeah.
Like, she's 100% in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's tough, you know, it's a totally subjective thing. And, you know, I didn't realize that, like, Annette Bening has been nominated like 5 times, has never won. So it's like,
really,
you know, it's going like, oh, you know, she's what I thought, like, going into it, I thought like, well, she's won before, it's not that big a deal, but, like, mm-hmm. you know, that's rough sitting there like 5 times and like Emma Stone already has 2. And yeah, Lily Gladstone, like, does a great performance, but, and then, like, even Sandra Hüller, like, she was in 2 of the best movies this year, and she, like, didn't get it, so.
Yeah, because you did like that Zone of Interest film, right?
It's not definitely not as much as everything else, but, like, it's a good movie, but it's not something I'd be like, oh, I can't wait to watch that again, you know? You know, it won, one of the awards it got was like best sound, and like, yeah, like the sound for that movie, like, really makes that movie.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I thought it was cool that Godzilla Minus One won best visual effects, for how small the budget was. It's incredible.
Yeah. I think that's why it won. Cause you see, like, you know, Marvel and Apple all paying like $200 million for their effects and everything. And like, yeah, these guys did a better job with less. So yeah. it's like a message to the industry of like, hey, you know, stop. Like the one guy did a speech of like, hey, you can make 20, like $10 million movies instead of like blowing your whole budget on one $200 million tent pole.
Yeah. That was Cord Jefferson, the writer director of American Fiction,
yeah.
which was a really well-written screenplay. So, I think they got it right this year. I think it's one of the first years in a long time where there wasn't a couple categories where I go, man, I don't know about this winning. And I mean, I really want to see Anatomy of a Fall, because I know you talked about that one.
Yeah.
Which hopefully you'll be able to stream soon. Or
I know the biggest rent. Thing I forgot was the Messi's overdose scene, like the dog. I didn't even talk about it in my review, but like, it was cool they had him in the audience, like this, like, fake dog hands clapping, and he pisses on Matt Damon's star on the Walk of Fame at the end of the show because of his rivalry with Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah, they had a Emily Blunt, Cillian Murphy, and gosh darn it, I can't believe I'm drawing a blank. Robert Downey Jr., Jiminy Christmas, were on Jimmy Kimmel, and they were all making fun of Matt Damon and stuff. Is pretty great. You should look it up on YouTube.
yeah, and the whole Ryan Gosling, Emily Blunt, like, exchange about Barbenheimer. It's like like there's good bits like that. Guillermo, like, being married to Charlize Theron and like giving the whole crowd a toast and tequila. Yeah. John Cena streaking at the Oscars and. Or not streaking. That, like, that was a great bit.
Yeah. So it was just fun.
Fun time, yeah.
Yeah, because they got rid of some of the stuffiness they've had for a while, so it was fun.
Yeah, I wish they, like, I know they would do it, but I wish during the show, like, when they're doing, like, something like the Ken, like, I'm Just Ken, you know, performance, like, they would actually cut to someone who's, like, super old. and, like, is usually just kind of has like a sour look on their face throughout the whole show. And so like, see how they, I want to see how they're reacting to like this super modern, like upbeat, progressive thing. But obviously they're only going to cut to people who are like, it really having a good time.
Yeah. It would be fun.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think like John Voight or something is in there.
Yeah. Like Robert De Niro was kind of sour, kind of a sour puss for part of
when
it.
When they were doing the best supporting actors, he didn't look like he wanted to be there.
Yeah. I was like, cut to him during the, no, I'm just kidding. Like, or even Scorsese, like, I know he was having a good time, but yeah. But yeah, it's weird that like, yeah. So many, like there were a diverse selection of nominees, but really like all the awards went to either Oppenheimer, Poor Things, or like Zone of Interest.
Mm-hmm.
So didn't spread around a lot, which kind of a bummer.
It is, but I think when a movie is so well received that it's just going to happen, you know?
Yeah. I mean, there's no right answer to this. It's completely subjective and, you know, the people choosing it aren't taking time out of their busy schedules to like sit down and call through these and like, okay.
Yeah. And
yeah. Like this
and
one.
The scoring system's weird too, because, you know, even if more people put Emma Stone at number two and someone than Lily Gladstone at one, like the weighted way they do it is why they win. It's not because everybody, the someone who got the most, you know, number one votes.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of speeches were good too. I like that. Like Divine Joy Randolph's thing. And then, Nolan had like a really good line about, you know, thanks for including me in the history of this. So
yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, Robert Downey Jr. talking about his wife was nice. And
yeah.
Like, it's nice.
Treat himself like a rescue animal.
Yeah. Cool. Hey, we watch film throughout the week as well in a segment I call What We've Been Watching.
So, yeah, this is the stuff we've been watching.
Brad, what'd you watch this week?
Let's see. What did I watch? I rewatched Under the Skin because it was playing at the Esquire, Save the Esquire. And I haven't seen it since, like, 2013, I think.
Yeah, it's a trippy movie.
I understood it better this time around. So it wasn't as trippy. I was kind of like, oh, this is definitely some extraterrestrials are coming down to Earth and just eating, like consuming people. And one of them goes rogue and gets curious about like the people she's eating. But it's just like super stylized and weird. And the effect at the end when she's like burning, running through the forest and burning. Peeling off her skin, and that one dude like is trying to like rape her, and her skin peels off. It's just like, wow, that's like for low indie budget. Like they get a lot of like, you know, it's like a ton of special effects in the movie, but this is from the guy who makes the Zone of Interest, you know, so it's a lot of sound and creepiness.
That end is always. I thought the ending is always really haunting.
Yeah. Yeah, and they get the I guess. Her cohort on the motorcycle, like, we'll never find her.
Yeah.
And then, I also watched, the 1972 The Getaway at the Cher Artiste. And, not a fan. Like, when, Steve McQueen, like, punches out like McGraw, like, I hope it was a direction and not just like a choice in the moment, but it's Sam Peckinpah directing, so.
Yeah.
Probably. Just like encourage that. I was like, I don't care about these people. Like he's abusive. He's a thief and all of his friends are like murderers and yeah, I don't know what I'm supposed to root for here. It's not even like
I haven't seen that and Getaway. I don't even remember the last time I saw. I was really little. Yeah. So I couldn't even have an opinion on it.
Yeah, for the young people listening, The Getaway is a 1972 film starring Steve McQueen and Ally McGraw. They are a couple. Steve McQueen is in jail. She convinces the warden to let him out of jail, aka sleeps with him, but McQueen doesn't know that. And then the warden is actually in on a heist that he wants McQueen to pull off for him. And of course it goes wrong, and he gets away with the money. And then the rest of the movie is this, just them just avoiding the law and the rest of the people that the warden was working with to get away. And yeah, it's I was looking at my watch a couple times and I don't have a watch. Yeah.
Damn.
And then, yeah, what did you watch?
Brad, you and I went to Movie Mystery Monday and we saw Arthur the King.
We did.
Which is the Mark Wahlberg adventure race. Is that, I think that's the name of the race they're in.
Sure.
And where he has to race across the Dominican Republic in 5 days or however long it takes. And while they're doing that, a stray dog joins the team and leads them to better paths, and he becomes a team member. Yeah, that's pretty much the story.
Based on a real thing, apparently?
Yeah. Yeah, I looked it up. It was a Swedish team, so they changed a little bit of the circumstances behind the story, but it followed actually pretty closely. I read about it online, and that dog Arthur, he was adopted by that family, and he didn't pass away till 2020, and I think it was 2013 that he was part of the race or something like that. But yeah, I mean, the movie's okay. The dialogue is kind of bad. And you and I laughed at a really inappropriate part where the dog was drowning, but it was this really weird CGI dog. I don't know. It just looks too goofy.
Yeah, it's a pretty cliche story. Like, you pretty much know what's going to happen at every beat. And yeah, the dialogue's kind of silly.
We're not the target audience, because we had some older folks in that screening and they were totally invested in the movie.
I know. I think someone was crying.
I know. They're totally invested in it.
I guess they're just shitty people.
Yeah. I mean, I won't spoil a part of it, but these people were super happy at this one part, audibly. So yeah, that was, I mean, for $5, it's fun. I am continuing to randomly watch films that I own on Blu-ray that I haven't watched yet. I watched Woman of the Year, which is a Katharine Hepburn, Spencer Tracy film from the 40s, the first one where they teamed up. It's really funny. It's a screwball comedy. It's a silly film. But they're two rival reporters, and when they fall in love, they get married, but then they kind of end up resenting each other because of their hectic lifestyle. And I mean, Katharine Hepburn and Spencer Tracy ended up becoming partners after this, and they made 9 movies together, but they're really guarded about being in a relationship. And, but their chemistry is really great in the film, and it's funny. I definitely recommend it. I got the Criterion. The Criterion is awesome. I also rewatched Freeway with Kiefer Sutherland and Reese Witherspoon, and I forgot how weird that movie was.
Yeah, I saw it recently. It's super weird.
I mean, Kiefer Sutherland's really good in it. And it's basically this trashy take on Little Red Riding Hood. Kiefer Sutherland plays a serial killer called the I-5 Killer, and he ends up picking up Reese Witherspoon, who's this troubled teen who's trying to go to her grandma's house, and he tries to kill her, and she ends up shooting him, which makes him like paralyzed kind of and fucked up. And he has this projection of he's this teacher and all this other stuff. It's really bizarre. But for some reason, it's kind of entertaining. I picked it up when I was at Telluride Horror Show. They had a Vinegar Syndrome booth, and all the Blu-rays, no matter if they're 4K or not were only $20. So I picked up that one in Miami Connection. They were the Ultra HDs. And the Freeway one has this really cool slip cover and really cool bonus features. And the lady who is running the booth is the lady who works at the archive in Aurora. So it's cool. Which we should go to that store again. I haven't been there in a while.
I went there like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, it's just cool. That's like they just have weird stuff there.
Yeah.
And, you know, randomly take a chance on it. And the last thing I watched wasn't random, but True Lies came out on 4K. And I watched that. And I really liked that movie. I saw in Letterboxd, you're not really a fan of True Lies.
Nope. I did not get into that one.
But it's Schwarzenegger being funny. And
The scene with him and Tom Arnold gaslighting his wife isn't very fun.
But he has whatever. He's a secret spy. He has to keep it up.
Yeah, sure. I don't know. I saw it recently, but I've already forgotten most of it, so I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, I really like it. It's fun. I mean, it's 30 years old this year. That's crazy to me. But yeah, it's cool that it finally came out on 4K. It skipped the Blu-ray generation, so
yeah.
Yeah, that's what I watched this week. Next week, I don't know what we're going to watch yet. I'll post it when I know. But in 3 weeks, we are doing Film Explosion 1984. So if you have those lists, send them to us so we can share it on the show. And I'll start posting about it.
Film Explosions make me feel good. Say that.
Hey-o, Ghostbuster style. So until next time. We will see you at the movies.
Well, a real nerd knows who shot a real nerd. Can follow the plot of a real nerd. Look at all the gods, lights, camera, action. Real nerds.
Thanks for listening to Real Nerds Podcast, a Nebulous Visions production. Stream or download episodes, read articles at realnerdspodcast.com. Stream us on Apple or Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or iHeartRadio. Follow us on Facebook, Real Nerds Podcast, Twitter and Instagram, at Real Nerds. Watch us on YouTube, Real Nerds Podcast. Email us at realnerds@gmail.com. Call us at 720-6NERDS5. Thank you to Sparks Mandrill, Mike at Plan 9 Studios, and Bolognium for all of our groovy theme songs. And that's how you fucking do it.